But so God's most recent prophetic word is lining all things up for this year. Now we're going to read this and just truly let this sink in and let God speak to you through this prophetic word, which he gave Pastor Barbara. Tomorrow will end another year. Then you will be pushed into a new year of triumph or a new year of more disaster. It will be totally up to you what for year you enter into. I have paved a way for abundant success in me, but not all will choose to follow that way. Whatever road you choose, choose wisely, for you will be bound to that road for the next 10 years. I have a works to do, and I cannot and will not be distracted by indecision any longer. And God's been dealing with us to get it right, and really getting it right means to choose God. And he's wooed, and he's wooed, and he's wooed. And let's just totally let it sit in our hearts right now that God, thank you for wooing. Thank you for all that you've done. It's already there for me. I just have to receive from you and make the choice that I'm going to start living for you. And that really is the only right choice, because he has so much to do with us and for us. And we were born for such a special purpose. And that purpose is you being here tonight and you saying, yes, Lord, I will. So kind of think right now, we're going to take communion. But before we take communion, you know, the word tells us to not take it unworthily. And that means to not view it as common. So let's view communion as it really is. It is Jesus Christ, his body and his blood. And he gives us the honor of letting him in ourselves. And like that song said, when I look in the mirror, let them see you, Jesus, and not me. That is what really takes place during communion. It's a supernatural thing. If we view it for what it really is, it's a supernatural thing that God made. And it's a covenant. Each time we take communion, we're making a covenant with God. So let us totally take it seriously. And before we come up, let's just, to yourself, just give yourself to God. Everything that's been weighing you down, give it to God. So that when you come up here, you have nothing in your way between you and God, and that you can make this a new thing. So when you feel ready and when you feel led, you can go ahead and come up and grab a communion. And we're going to just read the scripture for communion. So let's take this in. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for all that you did to allow you to come into us. And Lord, if there's anything in us that you want us to truly give to you, may you bring it to our remembrance right now. And the Holy Spirit is searching us. As we listen to him, he's bringing up things that he wants to give, that he wants us to give God. So just take time right now and let him search you. And then within your heart, give those things to God.
Praise the Lord. It's so good to see y'all out in the house of the Lord tonight. See, you missed all year, so you don't know what God's been doing with us. If you notice, the Lighthouse knows how to rejoice because God's been teaching them how to rejoice. God is very serious about what he's doing, what he has been doing with the body of Christ. And if you haven't been in church, then you don't know what's been going on, and you're not ready to go into 2018. Period. You just are not. But if you're going to get caught up, I believe if you start attending the house of God in 2018, that then you'll get caught, God will catch you up, and you'll be able to be used by the Father to do the works that he wants to do. Now, the ones who have come out faithfully and allowed God to crucify them over and over again, you're ready for 2018. You're ready to go out there and face the giants in the land. And God said he was going to be with you, right? Well, when I was asking God what he wanted me to do for tonight, he just started giving me a prophetic word and put scriptures to it. And this afternoon, I was trying to clean up my computer, and Bill and Marsha Burns had theirs on there, and he did the same thing with them. But I got mine first, all right? And they're not the same. But I want you to know that God is in control. And I just went, I was up to 4 o'clock this morning getting this, and I just lay near the bed thanking him for what he did. And he said, I want to do this to each one of my children every day. I want to instruct them how to live. I went through my word, through him speaking to us, and then through his word. He said, I want this to be a season that you're going into, everybody's going into, where every day as you spend time first thing in the morning, that you will hear the voice of the Father. And he will instruct you what he wants you to do for that day. And without that instruction, you're going to get in trouble. See, without that instruction, you're going to jump out of bed, get yourself dressed, run to your car, and run smack dab into a whole lot of problems. But if you get out of bed or lay in bed, you can lay in bed too, like I do, and just speak to the Father. Then you can lay there, and he can give you instructions. So then, there you run out the door. There won't be any problems because he's already told you what you should be doing. And he'll also tell you you're going to be running into problems too, and then he'll tell you how to take care of those problems. So it's up to you whether you have a good day or a bad day or an indifferent day. It's up to you. Do you really seek the Father's face continually? And he's been telling, remember this morning we learned about the third heaven and how he wants us to go up into the third heaven. He did a wonderful, fantastic work, I believe, on all you that were on the floor, because you looked like you was really being ministered to by the Father. But tonight, let's just see what God has to say. He says, the body of Christ has come to the brink of revival, where they will be part of the greatest outpouring of lost souls into the harvest fields. And I noticed Aaron had a little bit of trouble reading there of that one section of the prophetic word, but I try to change it, Aaron, but when God speaks, it is solid. He just won't let you move it any which way. If you'd have just been familiar with it, you wouldn't have stumbled over it, all right? So as the body of Christ has come to the brink of revival, where they will be part of the greatest outpouring of lost souls into the harvest fields. Many, and I do many, will come forth with healing in their wings, for I have now brought my healing virtue back into the body of Christ. Many healing miracles will be seen at this given time. Let's just stop there. You who are in ministry of any type, get ready to have miracles, signs, and wonders all the time in your ministry. I don't care where you go, what you do, God is going to be pouring out his Spirit through you, And you're going to see great signs, wonders, and miracles working through you. The anointing is going to be there, and I'm hearing God say, as you partake of conversations with me, I will work through you, and you will see miracle after miracle after miracle. So believe for God to be with you wherever you go as we go into 2018. Malachi 4, 2 and 3 says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, the enemy is going to be continually under our feet. The rock which the builders, and then God went on to say, the rock which the builders rejected will come forth with healing in his wings, and he shall build his church with holiness and purity. And Acts 4:11 says, this is a stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Then Matthew 16:13 says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? See, that's the important thing. It's not who I say God is in your life. Who do you think God is in your life? What do you believe for yourself in your life? Not what I say over you. Are you understanding this? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. If you don't have God reveal himself to you, I cannot reveal God to you. It has to be your own personal one-on-one encounter with the Father. And once you have your encounter with the Father, your life is forever changed. You will never go back to your old lifestyle ever again. But you're going to have that one-on-one encounter with him for yourself. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I put down Psalm 118. When you go home, read Psalm 118. Then God goes on to say, how secure are you in my kingdom? Excuse me. Where are your feet planted? Are they planted on the solid rock, Jesus, or are they on shifting sand? Then the scripture tells us in Matthew 7:24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. See, you're going to have your walk with God founded on the rock, the solid rock, Jesus. And when you do, all hell can break loose against you. The winds can blow anywhere they want to blow, but you will not fall over because you're going to be solid. You're going to be cemented into Christ. And if you're not there, then the winds are going to come and they're going to blow and they're going to knock you off course. Are you listening? Some of you in here tonight, God has had a calling on your life for years and years. Does he still have that calling? Remember what he told us one night in here? He said, I've already removed some mantles because the people wouldn't step up to the plate and carry that mantle, and I gave those mantles to other people. Do you still have your calling? You have to know this. You have to be secure in Christ if you're going to go on and do the works he's calling you forth to do and to be. Then God goes on to say, now, right now is the hour of salvation, and many salvations are coming all across the land. Take up the banner of love and start marching. March all across the nations and proclaim liberty to the poor and proclaim love to the hopeless. Proclaim all the works of the Father and do not hold back. We have a job to do, guys. We have to go forth and preach the gospel to everyone that we meet. And I don't mean get up there and start But preaching the gospel is hugging somebody. You know, helping somebody. Just letting them know that Christ loves them and Christ is there for them. When you get out there and start saying, well, if you don't get yourself together, you're going to go to hell. See, that is not what God's saying when he says preach the gospel. He's saying you go and you be an example of who Jesus Christ is really, what he's really all about. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This was Jesus speaking. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And this is the same if you've been following your calling. If you've been doing what God's been telling you to do. If you've been in his word, in his presence, you can say this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. This is what your job is. You have a job to do. Verse 19 says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book. You know, Jesus closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Can you honestly say, as Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me? Can you say that? If you can say that, that's wonderful. Because you are the ones that God's going to use now in 2018 to bring the glory of God into the earth. But if you can't say that, then you still have some homework to do. You still have to get before the Father's face and seek him with all of your heart until you know without a shadow of a doubt what God wants you to do. And then God went on to say, it is resurrection time all across the land. Resurrection of the dreams that have died. Resurrections of lost hope. Resurrection of the dead. Resurrection of my body of believers that have begun to sink into hopelessness and see no way out. All of a sudden, in a twinkling of my eye, resurrection power shall be poured over them, and all will come alive in me and go forth singing the praises of my kingdom. And through this, all the hopeless, lost, and dying will be resurrected to life and liberty. That is shouting material. You can blow your horn right now because God is on the move. And God is doing a... Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you. Amen. Resurrection time. Thank you, the ones of you that already resurrected. Maybe that'll resurrect some of the dead ones. Amen. Thank you. All right, 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I want to stop here. We have been going through pure hell, the body of Christ has, for a good 16 years now. And everything that Satan could strip from us, he stripped. And, you know, there was many times we wanted to sit down and quit. But God says, get back up. Get back up and keep moving. Don't stop. Whatever you do, don't stop. Don't quit. Isn't that what he's been telling us? And so we just kept on marching and just kept right on marching. And, you know, even it was total faith, was it not? Some of us, you know, we walked by total, complete faith. God didn't show us the next step, did he? He just says, keep walking. Get up. Keep walking. And so as you did that, you were walking towards this miracle time that we're going into in 2018. Now, 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, because some of us lost hope, did we not? Hope in a lot of things. But he says again to a living hope, not a dead hope, but a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is a spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. We have liberty in this house. You should have liberty in your house. Because the Spirit of the Lord should abide in, with you and around about you. Are you listening? I want you to, you know, God said, I want you to really get them going this evening with the happy songs. And God was trying to resurrect you through praise and worship. He was trying to bring you back to life again because many of you have spiritually died. Because too many bad things have happened in your life and nothing seems to be going good. Somebody said to me before I left the house tonight, well, maybe you're going through another test. I said, you know what? I should have so many college degrees with all the tests that God has put me through, right? I mean, I wasn't upset or anything. I forgot what the statement was all about. But I said, believe me, I know how to pass a test by now, don't you? How many of you know how to pass a test? You know, God has allowed you to go through a storm, but you know how to hold your head up high. And even when the devil seems to be at your throat, you're kicking him to pieces. And you know how to pass that test and keep on going. Amen. You might have even cried for a season, but you got back up again. You wiped them eyes and kept right on smiling, kept right on going. You know how to pass a test. And it makes the enemy mad because he was trying to flunk you. All right, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is a spirit. I read that, didn't I? And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You must have to hear that again. You have to be walking in the spirit. You cannot be walking in your flesh in this day and in this dispensation. Then God went on to say, some will say, oh, you foolish ones, and whom are you trusting your life to? How many people have said that to you this past couple years? I tell you beforehand, they will see and know whom you serve without you saying a word. For I will bestow my glory upon you, and they shall see me for who I am. Amen. I know a lot of us in here, including me, people have mocked me and mocked you and said, what kind of God do you really serve? Why doesn't he do this? And why doesn't he do that? And why doesn't he do the other? And we kept on going, didn't we? We just kept holding our head high. And just kept marching on. And look what God is doing to us. Aren't you excited? Yeah. Come on, you have more wind than that. Thank you. Now you better quit if I'm supposed to be done by 11, all right? All right, God went on and said, this is a year of new beginnings. This is a year of new beginnings. I just read where 8 means new beginnings. We're going into 2018. All right, this is a year of new beginnings with all of heaven at your disposal, and the enemy's camp is running around furiously trying to cut you off before the resurrection occurs. And he went on to say, be steadfast in all you do. Do not allow others to hinder the works I have placed in your hands. Take a stand and stand for what is right at all costs. Amen. My grandson, Jimmy, he was telling his mother, he was watching one of these historical things, you know, they put on TV, and they were saying they found the bones of Jesus. They were saying that Jesus really didn't go out of the grave, that he died in there, and he was telling his mother, and she said, we know that's not right, Jimmy. He said, I know we know that. He said, but you know how many people are going to lose their faith over this? And that is true. They'll believe that junk. They believe all the other junk. And then after they said, oh, this didn't happen. Then all of a sudden they're uncovering all this stuff. Oh, it really did happen. But you know, why would you believe that Jesus died and did not raise from the dead? Why would you believe that? Because you're not rooted and grounded in Christ. That's why you believe that. And every wind and doctrine that comes along will blow you off course. Come on. My Jesus rose. And he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And I don't care what kind of bones they're protecting, but they're not Jesus' bones. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Remember, God said, be steadfast in all you do. Don't allow others to hinder the works I have placed in your hands. Then 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't ever think you're wasting your time when you're doing the works of the Father, because you're not. God went on to say, do not be beguiled by the things of this earth, for they are exactly that, earthly things. For I have all of heaven at your disposal, and all you have to do is ask, and it is yours in abundance. See that? That's our God. And then Galatians 3:1 says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. See, we know that Jesus Christ is alive and well. We know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are with us continually. And we know that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And we know that God wants us to come up into the third heaven and sup with him. So why would we believe any lie that the enemy places out there? Then God went on to say, forsake all the worldly transactions and pick up your cross and follow me. Are y'all listening to this? Forsake all the worldly transactions and pick up your cross and follow me. For this is the hour of the greater works. Some of you sitting in here, you get on the ball because you know what God's called you to do. And this is the hour that it's all coming to pass. And you are part of that army of believers that shall transcend time and do great and many mighty exploits for your Father. What is more important to you, to look good to the world or to look good in the Father's eyes? Why are you trying to prove that you're something great and mighty and strong to the world, which is passing away anyhow? What you need to do is stand before the Father and let the Father get glorified through you. Come on. John 14:12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You hear that? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is a time, as God taught us this morning, as we go up into third heaven, whatever we ask of the Father, he's going to do it. Why? So he can be glorified. And then God went on to say, speak to your heart and tell it to line up with my heart. Speak to your eyes and tell them to see as I see. Speak to your tongue and tell it to say only what I say. Take control of your vessel and I will use it as a vessel of honor in this dispensation of time that we are living in. Clear-cut direction from the Father. That's no guesswork there. And 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity or sin. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. In other words, there's wheats and tares in every church. There's sheep and there's wolves, right? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. This is what he's been getting the lighthouse to do for 2 years now. Get your act together. Get out of sin. Stop your foolishness. And I am so full of pride with what you guys have accomplished, because I've watched where you were and I've watched you come out of that mess, and now I'm watching you stand before the Father totally cleansed, totally holy, going forth and doing mighty works for the Father. I'm one excited person tonight because I told the Father, you did a great work in these people. I didn't, but you took the word and you let it change your life. And that's the important part. Sorry, flee all youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient. Well, when I read patient, I had to check my spirit. Because every now and then I like to take some of you and put you over my knee. Because I thought, why don't you get it together, right? In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. And God would say to me, why are you judging? Why are you not being loving? And I'm thinking, oh, here we go again, God. Because, you know, it says here, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. I don't know when God will get them together. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So you don't know if your brother or sister is going to come to their senses. So it's not up to you to cast them aside. It's up to you to keep praying for them and keep lifting them up and keep going to the courtroom with them and saying, God, smack them good. Amen. Come on. You know, and get and you know, and let God have a chance to get them together. Who knows what will, then God went on to say, who knows what will become of this great nation? Only I have that knowledge. Take up the trumpet. Thought about you, Elaine and Adam. Sound the alarm on the holy hill. Call all to repentance. Fast and pray like never before. For the king is coming in all of his majesty, and he is bringing the angelic host with him. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all the earth. What did he tell us the other night? Fast. Pray. Joel 2:1, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. Guys, Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, but I don't know when, but you don't have 200 more years to get it together. Amen, because we have to do the works of the Father now while the hour is here. Joel 2:15 says, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priest who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Nobody should ever look at you and say, where is your God? Never. I don't care if you're in drowning and you're coming up for the third time, you should be saying, thank you, Jesus. You should never give anybody the opportunity to say, where is your God now? Amen. Then he went on to say, hang up your worn out. Now, I like this. Hang up your worn out weapons of warfare and resuit. For this dispensation of time requires brand new wineskins with brand new weapons of warfare. The old has been done away with, and all things shall become new, saith the Father of all lights. And in that word I was reading, it said the Father is the Father of all lights, which we know. And as we stand before him, his light will ignite our light, and we'll go out as bright shining lights. Matthew 9:16 says, no one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. That's why God said you have to resuit. He's getting ready to pour out some new wine. And I'm sorry, but your old vessel's not going to be able to contain this new wine, because it's going to be so anointed. It's going to be so full of power and authority that it needs a brand new vessel to be poured into. Are you listening here? And see, this is why God has been dealing with us, to get rid of the old junk so that we're brand new vessels that he can pour into. I don't know about you, but that wine is going to run. It's going to be a steady flow. And it's never going to run dry. And his glory is going to go wherever you go. And his glory is never going to stop. And his glory is going to accomplish all that he wants to accomplish. And calling God, but saying to you this night, daughter of Zion, it is time for you to rise up out of the molly grubs. It's time for you to rise up into my earth, heavenly realm, and get out of the earthly realm. It is time for you to take my hand once again, because I want to restart you, and I want to restart your ministry, and I want you to go forth and do the great mighty works that I've always called you forth to do. The enemy came and he caused you to sit still, but I'm telling you tonight that I'm putting a fire under you, and daughter, you will not ever sit still again, because marching time is here. And I'm going to give you marching orders as you set before my face. And daughter, you will go forth with new vim and new vigor, and you shall tear down the enemy's kingdom, and you shall see God's majesty before you wherever you go. I am your Father, and I love you, and I have never left you, and I'm never going to leave you. And daughter, I tell you, people will know that you have been in my presence, because my glory shall fill your temple. Now, Colin, you go forth. I don't know what you're going through, but you go forth and you just do the mighty works that God's called you forth to do. And don't look at your past. Don't look at the people around about you. But just keep your hands in the hands of the Maker and just let him take you forward. Thank you for coming tonight. Going into a brand new year, totally new, totally emptied out, to do the mighty works that God called you forth to do. I don't know where I'm at. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See this? Your old lifestyle is dead. It's gone, never to be resurrected ever again. Are you in Christ? Do you know what God's called you for to do? Then get ready to do it. Then God went on to say, holiness is where I am at in this dispensation of time, and I require holiness out of my people who are called by my name. And 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting the holiness and the fear of God. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness. See, he had you blow shalom over the people. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Amen.